Weekend Auto here, Vinyl Hour on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you. We are broadcasting live from Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall at Kentucky Downs. Come on down, watch some college football just about 30 minutes outside of Nashville. So it is not a far drive whatsoever. We had a great drive.
It was smooth, about 40 minutes or so. And
easy breezy.
Now we're here, and when I first got told that we would be doing the show in Kentucky, I was expecting a two-hour drive to Louisville, but here we are.
We can do that. Well, actually, you don't want to go to that godforsaken city. Let's go to
People in Louisville have feelings, too.
Yeah, well, their feelings are not valid if they cheer for that team in red. There's only the blue team that matters. Let's talk a little Titans, but cut down day, Tuesday. There are guys, I think, that are on the fringe of making the roster. There are guys that I think are on the fringe of getting cut. Who, in your mind, are guys that you think are going to squeak into this roster at pivotal pieces?
I did this with TD the other day, and I do have some fringe players, but remember that first waiver claim is going to be big. I think Curtis Jacobs at linebacker is a guy that has a chance to be a fringe guy because they really need a fourth backer. They have Cody Barton, James Williams, Cedric Gray. Who else? Curtis Jacobs, I think, is a guy that could be that fourth linebacker. Mike Brown at safety is another guy that might squeak in there.
EKU guy.
Yes. I could see maybe I don't know. I'd probably go those guys. At tackle, Braden Crenshaw Dixon, an undrafted free agent out of Florida. They need a guy to be a backup tackle. I don't think that spot is solidified yet, so he's a guy that I could potentially see making it as well.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to point to Xavier Restrepo. I'm going to tell you right now, he's not making the roster. I've told you this before,
yep,
Parker.
I agree.
I've told you this before. I think the Titans are going to keep seven receivers at the most, and that would be Ridley, Lockett, Jefferson, Iomanner, DK, Oliver, and Prochet.
Right.
That would put Restrepo out. That would put Jaquan Jackson out. Jaquan Jackson, I think, has slimmer chances to make the team than even Restrepo does. I think Restrepo's a practice guy at best, and I feel bad saying that because in April, I kind of guaranteed that Restrepo would make the roster because I thought he would be kind of like a...
And I did too, and that was very...
I thought he would be kind of like Keandre Coburn. You know, they brought him in from Texas to kind of watch Tavondre Sweat, and he got cut. I'm not exactly sure why he got cut. I feel like they could have used the depth at D-tackle.
I feel like that was the most shocking, especially when he got cut. Like, if he was a fringe guy, okay, but I thought he was a shoe-in to make this team, and now I think he'll get replaced by a guy like James Lynch or, you know, somebody like that. But that was a surprise. And to go back to the Xavier Restrepo point, my biggest concern with him is if – you know, he's the all-time leading receiver at Miami. Teams are made aware of that. They're very well aware of that. If he doesn't get picked up by another team, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I mean,
he has to go through waivers before the Titans can get him off the practice squad. But I see the Titans...
I honestly wouldn't be shocked if no one picks him up.
I see the Titans going out and get somebody else before they get Xavier Restrepo on waivers, so...
Oh, you hear that crowd noise behind me, don't you?
I know, it's so hard for me to focus on this Titans talk when Farmageddon is underway.
Iowa State is...
Teams are running out of the tunnels here. And I mean, look at that crowd.
Look at those
Dublin helmets,
I
mean,
man.
It's very divided, purple and red. This is a great color scheme. Don't want to contrast colors, you know, according to Connor, because blue and orange doesn't look good together. Red and purple? How about red and purple, Connor? What do you think about red and purple?
Red and purple looks all right together.
This is a fantastic helmet matchup.
It is, yeah. I mean, they got special Dublin helmets with the kind of the Celtic font for Kansas State. They're wearing the silver helmets. And then Iowa State is wearing a really kind of a throwback helmet, it almost looks like. It's red with cyclones in kind of a curvature around the helmet.
I will say this. You know how I feel about neutral site games. I'm not a fan, but think about these poor people in Dublin, Ireland. They don't get to observe college football every Saturday like we do in the great United States. So for this game to go over there, a ranked matchup, a Big 12, one of the more entertaining conferences to watch, I'm happy for these people. They get to enjoy a college football Saturday that we get to enjoy 12 Saturdays out of the year.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of like the NFL where they go to England and they go to Germany and Mexico City. You're going to see fans from all over the place. Now, I think a lot of the fan base for both of these teams is students that have maybe they're studying abroad and they get to see their team play, or, you know, they've traveled with the team and booked flights and such. But it's a semi-decently sized stadium. And
yeah, no, it looks, you know, pretty big. Aviva Stadium, I believe, is...
Yeah, in Dublin.
40% of the players needed to get passports. Iowa State shipped 2,500 pounds of food and 1,800 pounds of Gatorade.
Wow. Wow. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line. You can text or call us. Let's get to your text. 2622, be as it may, we are in the state of Kentucky. Seems like we're getting a lot of Kentucky texters today.
It seems that way.
He asks, do you think Mark Stoops is on the hot seat? I don't see where Kentucky finds 28 mil to buy him out. He's absolutely on the hot seat, first of all.
Well,
if he goes out and does what he did last season and wins three games, he's out the door. It's Kentucky. They're going to find the money from donors. They may take it out of the basketball fund to cut him.
Well, they just multimedia deal that's
it's a new NIL collective.
Yeah, so that was good on their part. The thing is, like, I feel like Mark Stoops, I feel like he's overachieved at Kentucky, because I'm sorry to everybody that's listening, I don't like the fact that I'm having to say this, but Kentucky is not a blue blood in football. They're a basketball school. Football is just kind of a hobby until it gets to basketball season.
That's fair.
I feel like Mark Stoops has really overachieved at Kentucky, so who are you going to go out and get that is going to put a better product out on the field than what Mark Stoops has?
John
Gruden? You know, the take that I made last week? Is he going to go to Kentucky instead of Arkansas like I predicted?
I want John Sumrall. I want John Sumrall out of Tulane. He's a Kentucky alumni. He's a great coach. He's rebuilt Tulane to be one of the top G5 programs in the nation. I think he would fit in just fine in Lexington. But I can see the argument. You know, Mark Stoops has been here a long time. He's been there since 2014, so this will be his 11th season. And he's kind of put Kentucky on the map in some capacity. They had that great season in 2018 with Benny Snell, and Terry Wilson was the quarterback. And then, of course, the 21 season with Will Levis at quarterback, Wandell Robinson receiver, Chris Rodriguez. That was a fun team.
I feel like the Terry Wilson years were some of the better years for Kentucky, because Kentucky got as high as, what, number 10 in the polls?
Number nine,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is overachieving at Kentucky.
That was the year they beat Florida for the first time
And was it in
years.
The swamp too?
It was. Yeah, that was Felipe Franks.
Yep.
He was in at quarterback. Josh Allen was on the Kentucky defense. Oh, I was in high school. I remember that. That was. If you're just tuning in, I mean, we've gone off on quite a tangent. If you can't tell, I'm very young. So I was in high school when that happened, but God, what a time. Look at this. The electricity of college football going on right here.
It's so hard to focus.
It's hard to focus. We're underway.
On this game and doing a radio show for another 50 minutes or so. We will make it through, and let's appreciate the fact that there's college football, real college football that counts on our TVs right now.
Connor, question for you. What do you think Mark Stoops has to do to kind of recapture that magic from 5-6 years ago?
Win.
Well, I mean, yeah, but like,
what does he
I
have
mean,
to do to win?
But what does he have to do? Yeah, what does he have to do to win? Because, I mean, I guess you could say, you know, those, you know, that 2019 year, the 2018 year, it was building up to that. So, what does he have to do to get back to that sense? I guess.
I mean, you got to recruit, and he hasn't recruited to the level that he's capable of recruiting, and he's shown that in the past. I mean, Kentucky hasn't had a solid quarterback since Will Levis, and that is 2021 Will Levis. 22 was a completely different Will Levis than the 21 season. But I just don't see a way out for him, man. Like, he's just kind of lame duck, for lack of a better term. And you know, the national opinion on Kentucky is they're going to be near the bottom, if not at the very bottom of the SEC standings. So, I mean, unless he just massively overachieves and knocks off Ole Miss at home and they go to Georgia, which that's a loss waiting to happen. They go to Texas. Or no, I'm sorry, Texas comes to Lexington. Unless they knock teams off they're not supposed to, like a South Carolina or teams like that, it's not going to be a good season. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call us for the next 45 minutes. When we come back, the preseason is wrapped. We got applause here.
Hey, look at that.
Look at that. Football is in full action. We got live applause here for Iowa State and Kansas State. When we come back, Parker, the preseason's over. The NFL schedule is out. More importantly, the Titans schedule is out. Let's go through all 18 games and give win-loss predictions.
18 weeks.
17 games. Yeah, you knew what I was trying to say.
Yep.
Let's go through all 18 weeks, and we'll do that coming up next. We are live from Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall at Kentucky Downs. As you can hear, college football is underway. We got a fumble from K-State recovered near the just outside the 10-yard line by Iowa State. It's already electric in Dublin. We got a live audience here. They are loving some college football. We're going to hang out here all day with you to catch college football. But coming up next, we'll break down the Titans schedule game by game. That's coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you on 102.5 The Game. Huddle here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you. We are live from Circa Sportsbook here at the Mint Gaming Hall at Kentucky Downs. Come out, hang out. We got football. We got lots of Kentucky fans here, actually.
Yeah, sounds like we have a healthy amount of Kansas State representation here.
Seems like we do, and it looks like, Iowa State almost gets in. It's second and goal. They are down at the one. It's already a fun game. I mean, we're only 4 minutes into the game, and
we've seen a muffed punt that was recovered by Iowa State. It started with the ball, and now they're second and goal, looks like, from the one-yard line. So,
yeah. Let's talk about the Titans. Preseason has wrapped. Time to do, as is tradition, and I'm sure every single show on this program will do it, but we're going to be the first to do it because we are trendsetters.
That's right.
Every win or loss in the 17-game season.
Uh-oh.
And there is a fumble by Iowa State. It looks like it's recovered by K-State.
Look at that.
Look at that. Right on about the Iowa State 13-yard line.
It looks like wet conditions out there in terms of the field. So lots of running the football today. And we've already seen two fumbles, one by either side.
Seems to be the case. So Kansas State will take over on the fumble recovery. Let's go through every Titans game. Of course, we begin week one in Mile High City at the Denver Broncos. I think this is going to be a tough, tough test for Cam Ward and friends. That is a crazy good defense, maybe top five in the NFL. Great secondary with Patrick Surtain. Great defensive line. I think it's going to be a tough test.
Yeah, I think that Mile High is where teams go to die in week one.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. They have to get used to the altitude. I think that defense and I'm blanking on the name of their defensive coordinator. Help me out. Vance Joseph?
Yeah, Vance Joseph.
It throws a lot of exotic blitzes out there, kind of like Brian Flores, and I think that'll be tougher for Cam Ward. And he's a debut in Denver in Mile High against that defense. It's going to be really tough.
Yeah, I would mark that one down as an 0-1 start. That's just me.
Right. I don't think there's a whole lot of skill in going game-by-game predictions, but, I mean, this is a fun exercise, so let's do it.
Yeah, we'll start 0-1. Are you going 0-1 as well?
I'm going to go 0-1.
Okay,
yep.
Let's do this. We'll do the first half of the season this segment and next half.
We can make that work.
Of course, week two, the Titans host the Los Angeles Rams in Nissan Stadium. another tough test for Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. That is another great defense. Jared Verse off the edge, the guy out of Florida State, is quickly rising to be one of the best defensive players in the entire National Football League. Oh, this is going to be such a tough test.
Colby Turner on the interior. You got Byron Young on the outside as well. Yeah. A very young defensive line. I think that that's going to be 0-2, to be honest.
I
see the Titans starting 0-2. Now, there is a question mark because of Matthew Stafford. He's had that like lower disc in his back that's kind of been messing with him. So if he is not healthy, I think the Titans will obviously have a better chance. But if he is and he's clicking on all cylinders, I legit think, you know, coming into the season, I think the Rams are a sneaky Super Bowl contender. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that's – if I had to pick maybe the team to win the NFC West, I kind of think it would be the Rams.
I think it would be the Rams. I think it would be the Rams.
49ers, I feel like, are on the fringe of their window closing. You know, they just paid Brock Purdy, so that – they can't allocate that money to other resources. Trent Williams is about to retire because he's been in the league for 100 years. They've kind of lost pieces at wide receiver. It's Brandon Ayuk and Ricky Pearsall out of Florida, who I think is a good young receiver. But
and they just acquired Brian Robinson yesterday.
Yep.
So
that's a Christian McCaffrey insurance piece.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a unconventional style. I don't think we're going to see Christian McCaffrey get a bulk load just because of his injury history, but they also have Brian Robinson. They have Isaac Garrido, who's a home run threat. So that might be a running back type by committee type deal right there.
Yeah, I would – kind of bank on the Titans starting 0-2. That's just kind of where I'm at.
Yep, I think that's pretty safe bet.
But in week 3, the Titans welcome the Indianapolis Colts to Nissan Stadium. It always seems like the Colts is a toss-up between the Titans and the Colts at Nissan Stadium, but they always seem to win on the road in Indianapolis. With the quarterback situation going on in Indianapolis, I don't feel scared of Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson coming in and beating the Titans. But the Titans like to do this thing. It's really cute, actually, where they make a bad quarterback look like a Hall of Famer. Like Malik Willis came in here last year. Mac Jones beat the Titans with the Jaguars. Trevor Siemian, who's now on the Titans roster, almost beat them with the Saints. Like, they like to do this thing where they make bad quarterbacks look competent. So it wouldn't surprise me if Daniel Jones comes out and just slings, you know, 360 yards and 4 touchdowns over the Titans, just because why not?
I think that this is where the Titans get their first win of the season, just because of the uncertainty at quarterback for them. And Daniel Jones, I just don't think he's good. And I don't think they have a lot of concerns over there in Indianapolis. If you're turning to Daniel Jones to be your QB1, and they have bigger deals with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I think this is a winnable game for the Titans, and I'll mark them down to win this one as well. Following week, week 4, they head up to NRG State, or I guess down to NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas, to take on probably the front runner in the AFC South, the Houston Texans. They feel outmatched in this one. But it's not because I think Houston is just this overly good AFC superpower team.
Right.
I just think they're the best team in the AFC South. And as we know, the AFC South is not a great division.
Yeah, and a very weak AFC South. I'd have to agree. I think that road, the Titans did get the win on the road in Houston last year. This is tough. I don't see them getting the win here. I don't see it.
No, I don't either. So we both have the Titans starting out 1-3. The following week, week 5, they head out to Glendale, Arizona to take on the Cardinals. Honestly, you could show me the Cardinals roster, and maybe this is just a me thing, but I don't know anything about them other than they have Kyler Murray at quarterback and Marvin Harrison at receiver. I mean, Trey McBride's a fine tight end. I think James Conner is still their running back.
Yes.
Their defense I know absolutely nothing about because they don't specialize in defense, apparently. I see the Titans winning this one. I don't think Arizona is anything special.
I do too. I could see the Titans getting a win starting off 2-4. I could absolutely see it.
They would, yeah.
Marvin Harrison, I believe, is going to take a major leap in year 2, so you're going to have to find somebody to cover him, which would not be an easy challenge. I think their tight end room is probably the strength of their team. Defense, they did get Josh Sweat from the Eagles.
That's right.
They have a Calais Campbell. Not a great linebacking core. They do have
Buda Baker's still there.
Buda Baker, that's good. And then they got Will Johnson from Michigan, who's projected to be a top 10 pick, but due to injury concerns, that's why he slipped a little bit.
He's gotta stay
healthy. He's able to stay healthy and live up to expectations, him and Buda Baker is a great 1-2 punch in the secondary. But I think the Titans can win this one.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and mark the Titans down for a 2-3 start. I think that's pretty accurate to what could actually happen. Now, they could fully go out there and lose all five games, but I guess we'll see. To conclude their three-game road streak, they go to Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. This is another game I think is winnable. Pete Carroll, new head coach out there. Love me some Pete Carroll, mm-hmm. First of all.
Yeah.
Ashton Jeanty is their running back. They got Geno Smith at quarterback. Brock Bauer is probably the most dynamic tight end in football. This is a winnable game. I think this is a toss-up, but ultimately I think, you know, the Titans are going to be coming off the honeymoon after beating Arizona.
Right.
It's a road win. Not that Arizona is this insanely talented team, but it's a road win for the Titans. I think they would fall in this one.
I think they fall too because of we don't really know what to expect from Pete Carroll, Geno Smith. They've been together before. Also, that run game with Ashton Jeanty. They've made improvements all along that roster. And not to mention, that is your third straight road trip in the span of 3 weeks. It's going to be tough. And I see the Titans losing this one.
Yeah. 2-4 start from both of us. Oh, boy. Here we go. Week 7. Sunday, October 19th.
You're going to make me out to be a bad guy here on the air.
Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots return to Nissan Stadium to take on the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. This is going to be, I mean, you don't think Mike Vrabel has this game circled on his calendar ready to go?
No, he absolutely does. Here's the thing, Connor. I right now I stand at 2-5 for the Titans.
I do as well.
If they
this
lose,
is horrible radio because we're not debating on this, but you know I think it's realistic.
If they lose this game to Mike Vrabel at home and fall to 2-6, Brian Callahan's going. Because after the Eagles game, after the Titans traded AJ Brown and the Eagles absolutely spanked the Titans, John Robinson was gone the next
Quite
day.
Literally. AJ Brown spanked a goalpost.
John Robinson was gone the next day. Even though the Titans were in the lead in the AFC South, if the Titans lose this game to Mike Vrabel at home, fall to 2-6, Brian Callahan's gone. Some other people might be gone as well.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. And I think Mike Vrabel is coming into this one with the game circled in red ink on his calendar.
He's going to be ready. He's the team that fired him, he's back in his home in New England. He's going to be ready to go.
Yeah, it's a matter of can Brian Callahan and Cam Ward play well under pressure. And I have a hard time believing they're going to, especially with everything pinned up against them. I could take the Titans to start 2-5. The Titans then head up to Indianapolis in Week 8. As I said, it always seems to be in the Titans' favor when they head to Indianapolis. How do we think about this one?
Oh, gosh. So, I think that just because I don't want to have the Titans at 2-7, I think they'll get this win. And I think they sweep the Colts. So, I'll give them 3-6.
Now, the Colts are an absolute crapshoot of a football team right now, as we said, especially at the quarterback position. But the Titans always seem to split with the Colts. They seem to split with every AFC team at this point. I think that happens here. I think the Titans go in to I'm blanking on it. Isn't it legal? No, that's Philadelphia.
Lucas Oil.
Lucas Oil, of course. Of course. How did I forget that? They go into Lucas Oil and do the thing where they make Daniel Jones look like a Hall of Famer. So I think they split that one. One more before we go to the break, and then, of course, they go to the bye. The L.A. Chargers come into town in Week 9. That's a tough one. Like I think all bets are off on that one. Justin Herbert is a great quarterback. I think they have a nice young offense with Ladd McConkey and Amarian Hampton in at running back. They just drafted out of UNC. I think the Titans – start off through 9 games, 3-6.
I think the Chargers are going to get this one. I'm very bullish on the Chargers this year because of Jim Harbaugh. I trust Jim Harbaugh. I trust that offensive line, even without Rashawn Slater. I trust the run game and how that's going to help Justin Herbert, Amari, and Hampton, one of the best running backs coming out of the draft. I believe they upgraded their wide receiver room just a little bit. So I see Justin Herbert taking that next step, and I'm very high on the Chargers. I think the Chargers win this one.
So you have the Titans at, what is it, 4-6. 4-6.
4-6.
I have them at 3-7 heading into the bye week in week 10. We'll come back, do the other half of the schedule on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, we are live from the Circa Sportsbook Lounge here at the Mint Gaming Hall at Kentucky Downs. Come by, see us. College football is underway, still knotted at zero. Kansas State and Iowa State as they approach 5 minutes remaining in the first quarter. But it has been a fun game so far. We've been watching it, and we'll be watching it all day long. But when we come back, we'll do the other half of the Titans schedule here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, we are live from the Circa Sports Lounge, the brand new Circa Sports Lounge, just opened Wednesday. They're having a grand opening event today, 11 to 7. Going to have some giveaways. I believe they're going to try and give away some Titans tickets so that you can go to Vegas. That's right. You can go to Vegas and hang out with the Titans and watch the game against the Vegas Raiders, which we both had them losing. But I digress. We're going through the Titans schedule as the preseason has just wrapped up for the Titans. I have the Titans at 3-6 through the first 9 games heading into the bye. Parker has them at 4.
I did 10.
Okay.
So I had them at 4-6 through 10.
Oh, I'm sorry. We did do 10.
Yeah.
So I have them at 3-7.
3-7, 4-6.
You are 4-6.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So,
and I'm sorry to everybody that's out there listening us as we've broken down Kentucky football and Titans football. I understand it's not sexy.
Yeah.
And you're probably wanting to turn this station off because of that, but please stick with us. Please stick with us.
I mean, 2622 on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, listen to y'all break it down. I feel like I'm committing child abuse with my boys. So we apologize, but
it's local sports talk. I can't believe we're talking about Kentucky football on a Tennessee radio station.
On Tennessee stationery? Are you kidding me? That's what these people will say to you. Devin and Dixon says, if Hair Trigger Amy fires Brian Callahan after losing to New England, the Titans won't win another game the rest of the year, in my opinion. Yeah, I agree.
Who would take over a head coach? I think it would be Denard Wilson as an interim.
I think John Fossil, because he's got head coaching experience. I think that's the reason he was brought in, partially in case Brian Callahan is fired. I think he's an insurance option.
Yeah, two options, I guess, right there, just in case. But I struggle to believe anything else that if the Titans lose that game to Mike Vrabel and the Patriots at home, nonetheless, somebody's getting canned. And
yeah, no,
Brian
is.
Callahan's already on the hot seat. That article came out by Jeremy Fowler and TD that they were considering firing him at the end of last year.
Yeah. Coming out of the bye, the Titans play Houston at home, week 11. At noon at Nissan Stadium. I mean, like we said, Houston is clearly the front runner to win this division, and it's not because they're some supremely talented AFC team. They got a good quarterback. They got good receivers. They have a good running back in Joe Mixon. Their defense is probably top three in the league. I mean, on paper, that is a good young defense. As it's touchdown, Iowa State.
Look at that
wide
beautiful pass by Rocco Beck.
Route. Rocco Beck finds Dominique Overby in the end zone. Touchdown, Cyclones. They take the early lead.
3:26 remaining in the first quarter.
In Dublin, Ireland. 3:26 remaining in the first quarter. That was a good play. Anyways, the Titans and Houston, I feel like, again, that's a team that they always split with, right? I don't think that's the case this year. I think Houston outright dominates them in this one. And I think the Titans start off the season 3-8 heading into week 12 in Seattle.
Yeah, I think the Titans, because I think they'll go 7-10 this year. That's my prediction. I think that they'll drop this game to the Texans. So they get swept by the Texans, but they sweep the Colts. So it kind of balances out. I have them at 4-7 through 11 games.
Okay. And I have them at 3-8. They then head, or they don't head, they bring back, what am I saying? They welcome Seattle into Nissan Stadium week 12. Seattle is a team I don't think is that good. They have Sam Darnold in at quarterback. They just welcome Cooper Kupp, who I think is on, you know, the exit route of his career. Decent defense. You have Tariq Woolen in that secondary.
Oh, I don't think it's just decent. I think it'll be top five this year under Mike McDonald. I think he's a brilliant defensive mind.
I think that's going to be kind of the story of the game. I think that defense is going to dominate the Titans.
Yep.
And I think they ultimately fall in week 12, which puts my record for them at 3-9 through 12 games. Or 11 games.
And I think their offensive scheme with Clint Kubiak is very similar to what it was with Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota for Sam Darnold. So I see him kind of picking up where he left off in Minnesota. And if they get that, I think Seattle could be a playoff contender in the NFC, certainly. I think the Titans do fall in this one. So it's 4-8 right there, Connor. Would I be right? 4-8?
Yeah, and I have them at 3-9 through 11 games. Or 3-12, I'm sorry. Math is hard. Did you know that? This is why we're journalism majors.
Well, this is why we talk about sports and not math on the air.
Yes. And if you talk about math, you're a nerd. Titans welcome Jacksonville, week 13. Jacksonville, I think, is not a good team. I think the Titans will actually win this game.
I do, too.
Look at that.
It's at home. Jacksonville, I don't know what to expect from Trevor Lawrence this year, if he's going to actually get better or if he's just going to stay stagnant. I don't think they're a good team, and I think the Titans win this one.
Is a big gain by Kansas State.
That's their returning receiver from last year. Their wide receiver one, Jace Brown.
Okay.
Look at that.
Kansas State, I mean, this is a fun game already.
This is a fun game.
You got rain. You got good offensive plays. What a set right there. They moved Avery
and
Williamson.
According to the CFP experts, Rocco Becht is your current Heisman front runner.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
That's so... College football 26, kind of. So, false start. It's coming back. All right. So the Titans win in Jacksonville. I have them at 4-8.
Yeah.
You have them at five.
We're through. Yes.
I have four wins. You have five wins.
Yes.
Regardless, they head to Cleveland in week 14. Cleveland is another team I don't think is very good, but it's a road test for them. Cleveland has solid pieces on defense like Myles Garrett. And I think, granted, they don't have a great quarterback, and I think they'll be out of it by then. Maybe we get Shedeur Sanders versus Cam Ward. But I think the Titans ultimately fall, and I think Cleveland wins this one.
Really?
Yeah.
I have the Titans winning this one.
Really?
I just have a gut feeling about it. Nothing more, nothing less, depending on who's starting at quarterback in that situation for Cleveland. I think their defense is going to be good. Just have some questions along the offense outside of Jerry Jeudy. Cedric Tillman's was a good for some games last year, but I don't know about that wide receiver situation. So I'm going to go with the Titans to prevail in that one and get to six wins.
For time's sake, and because I think we both know which way the next two games are going, can we just chalk these next two up as losses?
Yep, yeah, I'm chalking them up.
And that is at San Francisco and Kansas City at home.
Yep. So that would be 6-9. 6-9. Or for me, I'm 6-9. You're 5-10?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Cool.
Yes. Wait, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. New Orleans, I think, is the worst team in football. They're going to be a very, very bad team. You want to talk about quarterback controversy? They don't have a quarterback.
Yep.
Tyler Shuck is not an NFL-level quarterback. Spencer Rattler is not an NFL-level quarterback. And they play the Saints at home. The Titans play the Saints at home. That's a win for the Titans.
I think it's a win, too. The Saints are going to be a bad football team. They get them at home. I think that this is where they get to seven wins.
Yeah.
So 7-9, which would be, I'd consider a good-ish year. So 7-9
So that would mean you have them losing at Jacksonville.
Yes, because I think they go 3-3 in the division, I think, is a safe bet.
Okay. I will hammer that bet, too. So you have them at 7-10
7-10
I have them at 6-11
All right. I could honestly see – think about it. Will Levis single-handedly lost this team three games last year because of silly, just mind-boggling turnovers. If you just don't get that same type of mistake from Cam Ward, I think that automatically improves this football team by three wins, and I see them getting an extra win. Still three games under 500, but I think 7-10 is a massive improvement from where this team was last year.
Yeah, and I mean, 6-11 that probably gets you a top eight pick in the NFL draft, maybe top 10 to 12. I don't know, but regardless – this team not going to be very good. I'm just going to tell you that. I think it's fair to expect anywhere from 4 to 6 wins from this team. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can call or text us on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One final segment here on this Saturday morning, and as we wrap up the show every week, we play America's up-and-coming new favorite game, Where Are They Now? Jake Wallman and I will go head-to-head, and Parker Kelly will host... And what I believe, in honor of Week 0,
yes,
will be
Week 0 Big 12 themed Where Are They Now?
Big 12 exclusive players in Where Are They Now? That's all coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, we are live here at Circa Sportsbook, here at the Mint Gaming Hall at Kentucky Downs at 102.5 The Game. One final segment here on the Weekend Huddle, Saturday mornings here on 102.5. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you. And as is tradition on this program, the last segment, which I guess this program technically started, what, this is our third show? So yep. two weeks ago, as is a two-week tradition here on the program, we play America's up-and-coming, fastest-rising, jet-flying, you know, whatever the hell Ric Flair says, kind of game. Where are they now? Of course, a refresher on the rules. We will give you five players. And apparently today they are all Big 12 players in honor of Kansas State and Iowa State doing battle in Dublin, Ireland today. First, are you still doing first three in North America, last two?
Honestly, I mean, all of these guys are going to be in North America. They're from the Big 12, man.
Okay. Then all of them will be in North America. 1 point for league, 2 points for specific team. And usually it gets a little bit wild with the specific teams. With that, Jake Wallman and I will go head-to-head as Parker Kelly hosts. Take it away, sir.
Are you guys ready?
Oh, I'm always ready.
All right, here we go. First player up, as I came up with this list about an hour ago, I actually feel pretty good about it. Connor, no cheating. You cannot look at my
computer. No, I'm not going to look at you.
Okay, then I'll start off with an easy one. Where is former Kansas State quarterback Colin Klein?
That's not easy.
It should be.
I don't think he's in the NFL. Let's see. I'll say he's in the UFL for Birmingham Stallions.
Jake?
So I think this guy's coaching somewhere. Am I correct?
I don't know.
You can't throw coaches in here.
Can you throw coaches in there?
No.
Hey, this is my list. I do what I want. This is a special edition. Okay?
No, this
special
is a
special edition.
No, this is against the rules. It's got to be a player.
Okay, Jake, just go ahead and guess.
I'm going to go ahead and say he's the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M.
Boom, bingo.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Okay, I have another tiebreaker in there. No. We won't count that one, no. Even though I think we should because Connor was disrespecting Boise State, so I don't think we should take
Boise
his opinion.
Boise State's
valid.
Not in the Big 12.
Okay, here we go. Here's our next one. Former Iowa State wide receiver Xavier Hutchinson. Where is Xavier Hutchinson now?
Jesus. Okay. He is in the CFL for the Montreal Alouettes.
Jake?
Say the name one more time, please.
Former Iowa State wide receiver Xavier Hutchinson.
I'm going to go he's in the UFL for the DC Defenders.
You are both wrong. He is currently on the Houston Texans.
Where is that league? I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. I was worried about you there for a second. Okay. 0-0. Former Kansas running back Devin Neal.
Oh, I know this.
Wait, let's have Jake go first.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and say he is with the CFL and the Edmonton Eskimos.
I'll say UFL, St. Louis Battlehawks.
Man, 0-2. He was a sixth-round pick in 2025 to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, never ever do Big 12 specific. Where are they now again? This is terrible.
I feel like I'm pretty proud of getting Colin Klein right.
I know. I really want to count it for you, but no, Connor's being a crybaby over here.
I'm not being a crybaby. There's no coaches. It's players. We don't care where the coaches are.
Okay. Here we go. Former BYU quarterback Jaren Hall. Where's Jaren Hall now?
This is awful. Jaren Hall, I'll say he's in the NFL for the New York Giants.
Okay, Jake?
I'm going to go with the UFL and the Michigan Panthers.
I tried to throw you guys a bone. He is on the Seattle Seahawks.
I didn't know that.
This is you are officially banned from creating where
I'm making
now.
It. I guess I made it a little too hard. I underestimated how much you guys just don't know ball. I guess
you
I'm
are banned from creating.
All right, this should be a little bit easier. Former Arizona quarterback Khalil Tate.
This isn't easier.
Do you remember Khalil Tate? Khalil Tate was everyone thought he was going to win the Heisman Trophy. Jake, do you remember Khalil Tate?
I remember the name. Yeah.
Okay, but this should be easy because if you don't know his name, where would you guess he is?
Arizona Cardinals.
Jake?
That's a great question. I'm going to go with the NFL and say he is with the Raiders.
He is a free agent. But he was most recently with
the Philadelphia. Then that doesn't count. It's got to be an active player.
He was most recently with the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm beginning to think you just don't understand how this game works.
I do. I mean, I've beaten you three times, so clearly I understand. But, okay, I'm sorry, guys. So my last one was a coach. Can we make an exception?
Coaches are not players.
You're making me come up with one on the spot?
Yes.
Is that what I'm hearing? All right, I'm going to try to – I really want y'all to at least get a point because we can't go 0 for here. So
you are banned from now on.
Okay, I guess I am banned according to Connor. All right, here we go. Former I'm not going to do that one. Hey, this is tough, having me go on the spot like this. Are you kidding me? Oh, jeez.
Never do Big 12 again.
Come on, it's America's College Football Conference according to Josh Pate.
Oh. Unlike the actual conference, though, there has been a lot of defense, a lot of punts in this one.
Yes, the conditions are not very good. It appears to be raining pretty hard. Okay, I'll let you guys decide. Would you like me to do an Iowa State or Kansas State player in honor of this beautiful game, or would you like me to do an easy Big 12 one?
I'd like you to just pick one.
Connor wants this game to end so bad.
Yeah, I do.
I'm good with you just doing a random one.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Sorry, right. I knocked my phone off the desk.
Okay. Where is this is a current player.
Yep.
Where is quarterback Sawyer Robinson? Jake, go first.
Former BYU guy, right?
That's a tough one.
You can't say, I don't know. This is part of where they now.
I'm thinking.
No, not you, Jake. Parker, you can't just look at me and say, I don't know where he played, because we need to know where they were first before we know where they are now.
Rocco Beck's dad looks oddly like Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if you guys saw that. Anyways, say his name one more time.
Sawyer Robertson. He's an active player in the Big 12.
Active player in the Big 12. So he's in college?
It's also got to be a professional player, by the way. That's part of the rules.
Are we making up rules on the spot?
No, this has always been part of the rules.
You guys are crazy. Do you have a guess, Jake?
If he's in the Big 12, I'm going to go with BYU.
Yeah, he's at BYU.
He's at Baylor.
Yeah, I don't care. You're officially banned from doing this because you're horrible.
My goodness. I told you it was Big 12 themed, so you should have known right from the start that it would be college.
No, it shouldn't be. Because where are they now is where did they play college?
Okay.
Where
right.
are they?
Okay. I got one. I'm switching the rules up a little bit, so just Cam Scataboo, what round was Cam Scataboo drafted in?
The second round by the New York Giants.
Connor.
He's a fourth rounder.
There we go. Connor's our winner. Man, 1-0? What a baseball
score
we have
there. I think it would be 2-1. I at least got on the board because I got the team right.
Well, I did ask where he was drafted because I believe we all know he's on the Giants, or at least we should know.
Right.
Well, he said...
Okay, fine. 2-1. 2-1.
Yeah, that's a victory.
Okay, 2-1.
Put some respect
victory.
On my name, please.
Victory for Jake Wallman got on the board. It took about 17 overtimes, like Georgia Tech, but we got there. I really need to educate y'all on the Big 12.
I really need to educate you on the rules and how this game works because I don't think you understand.
So I think it's going to be a while before I host again. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, you're.
I promise. I'm not going to do a Big 12 thing.
We are giving you a show cause.
Okay.
On the until
I'm receiving the Michigan slap. On
it's
the
like
wrist.
It's like a driving school. You got a little fender bender. Now you got to go back to driving
this is great
school
sports
and get your
talk
license
radio.
Back.
Great sports talk radio.
Great right sports here. Talk radio. Hey, I mean. The majority of the show was good.
We did good. We did get distracted by Farmageddon, but who wouldn't? Right?
The
who
majority wouldn't? Of the show was just fine. Fun show, as we said. I've kind of hit my wall on sports radio, as yesterday we were on for a long time. Today we were on for a long time.
So we will be taking a brief hiatus until we return next week. And I'm sure we'll make some
I will.
On air.
Yeah. I will. You're going to be producing every day next
week.
Well,
I will make my return on Next Man Up starting on Monday.
Yes, you will. Well, folks, we are still here at Circa Sports Lounge here at the Mint Gaming Hall at Kentucky Downs watching this game. In the second quarter, Iowa State, Kansas State knotted at 7 with 12 to play in the half. It's been a fun game so far. Been a fun show so far. And we thank you very much for listening. That'll do it for us here on the Weekend Huddle. For Parker Kelly, for Jake Wallman back at the studio, my name is Connor Newt saying so long. Enjoy Week 0 football. Enjoy NASCAR tonight, especially you, Parker Kelly. Enjoy it tonight. Enjoy all the football coming your way. Football is back in season, baby. High school is here. College is here. NFL getting started soon. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game.
And please pass along the friendly reminder, no fall weddings.